you do reciprocate. Protect me from tidal waves and anything that comes my way. Knight in shining armor, you. In everything you say, I will do it. And I will never face no type of danger.
That's Tracy Braxton, Lifeline. Oh, that's real nice. And welcome to the Soul Savvy Show on Thursdays here on Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. The Soul Savvy Show, you got to stay tuned to this. And welcome back our hosts, E.B., Whitney, and Q. Lynn Green.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing good, doing good. I see EB's back tonight, and Whitney's on the
line. I know, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know whether you want to share with the audience what you said about EB last week or not. EB, you haven't heard.
He's out promoting his latest gospel EP. Is called "I Go to Church But I Smoke Weed." He's promoting that, and then he also has like a hot new single that's doing numbers on the digital outlets right now, on everywhere, Apple Music, Spotify, everywhere. It's called "Fishnet Condoms." That's a hot one out there. It's coming from his gospel EP, so that's what.
See, EB, you see what happened? You see what happens? I tried to defend you, EB, but then I thought, I thought twice about it too. Since you wouldn't let me at the fine dining tables, I said, no, he's on his own.
No worries.
I'm trying to tell you that filet mignon.
Well, Q Lynn filleted you last week, boy, in your absence.
Oh,
man.
Naima was the one that called you out though. She was like, where are you? I was like, how you not gonna be on the show? I know, right? That's what I was telling Naima. I was like, tell him the same thing. I was like, how you not on the show?
She texted me and I was like, she was like, where are you? I was like, look, I've been traveling. I'm just trying to get situated.
If you see my face right now, I got my, like, I'm giving you a side eye right now. Really? I done been to three different states in 2 weeks. And you talking about being tired from going.
I know.
And Q-Lin, he could always call in, couldn't he? He could call in.
Right. And then he got all these excuses. That's why he got in trouble, this past weekend. We're going to get into that later in the show, though.
Oh, boy.
Once I reveal what it is.
I can't wait.
Welcome, y'all.
Can't wait. I love for other people to be in trouble except for me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Now, you talk about your attitude adjustment. That's what we were talking about last week. And the week before was your attitude. How are we going to get that correct, sir? Because I don't know what was you... He was tripping last week in the... Wait, no, not last week. The week before last week and the week before that. He was
tripping how?
I was like, what's wrong with him?
No, why don't you tell the truth?
Somebody didn't put too much slipping stuff in your Pinot Grigio.
No, I haven't had it. I haven't had it in a while. That's the problem. I'm having withdrawal symptoms.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But no, why don't you tell the truth? You call me 3 minutes before the show and you want A, B, C through... X or Y and Z and everything, right? 3 minutes before the show.
Nah, that's on you. Don't try to blame me for your message.
We might have to get y'all some couples counseling.
Couples counseling.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my.
Yeah.
You tell me my.
Need to straighten this out.
Yeah, you tell me my radio wife that I'm about to divorce.
No, he been divorced to me. I don't know.
No. No, it will never happen, Kulin, because we already know that you are cheat.
I divorced EB too.
Wait a minute.
I got two husbands on the show.
I didn't know.
Oh, it's always like that. And then also, yeah, he's out here, you know, just doing his own thing, and then he get in trouble, and now I gotta play his publicist for a day. Until all the smoke cleared out,
hey.
Then he go come crying back like, oh yeah, I need you to bring my character up. You know how many people I had to like explain stuff to because of him last weekend? and then I can't wait to tell y'all what happened this week's show is gonna be hilarious.
Oh boy! I can't wait. So you know, EB needs to start selling, sharing some of his celebrity status with us. I think.
Right. Well, I really need it because I'm tired of listen. I ain't going to celebrities all day. That stuff is tiresome. I get mad whenever anytime my tweet goes somewhere and it does a lot of numbers, I'm like, I don't like this because it'll be like 2 days after and it'll still continue. I'm like, I don't like this. I'm like, I don't like all this attention, so I don't need to share it. Now, if it, anything that relates to, some kind of depository into my checking account, if that famous status, if those numbers, six-figure, seven-figure numbers can get into my bank account, that's what I want, a famous check.
Right.
I don't want to be famous. I want a famous check.
Yes.
That's my goal in life. And so, yeah, once I tell everybody, we have savvy updates, tell people about y'all lavish weeks. Well, you can wait to tell your EB. Besides that, I guess you can tell them about your trip to your hometown. You can save the rest for Raggedy.
Yeah, I'll save the rest.
Yeah. But just tell them about, or whoever wants to go first, about what y'all been doing the past week.
Man, I've been just getting back in the swing of things, like getting back to New York, trying to figure out my life and get my life together, like everything I've missed. I had plants in here dying. My place was like all hot, you know, AC was on. Then I'm trying to get back in the swing of working I work every day while I'm gone on vacation, but it's something different about waking up in South Carolina and your mama in the kitchen cooking breakfast, and I wake up here and I'm hungry all day, ain't got nobody to cook for me. I ain't ate since I left South Carolina.
Dang.
You haven't ate? What?
I ain't got nobody to cook for me.
Now I don't feel like you being 100% truthful, because I could have sworn I've seen a very tenderized Cornish hen on your Instagram or something I saw somewhere. So,
man,
telling 100% truth.
I was making that for the homeless. I was feeding the homeless.
That is so sweet of you, EB. I knew you had a big heart.
I'm not buying any of this.
He's starting before.
EB's pulling your leg. EB is pulling both of y'all legs. No.
Oh, man.
No, EB, I'm not going to defend you. Remember, you don't defend me, so hey, brothers have separated.
Oh,
the brothers on the show have separated.
Oh,
That's right.
Oh, man.
No, EB.
He's been separated. Listen, he flip-flop all the time. I know, I told y'all.
Look,
he flip-flopped on me every time. So, yeah, he flip-flopped on me, like, after that. I mean, right after the that show, he flip-flopped back over to Will, making up fabrications and stuff. And then it's like a continuation with you, EB. I don't know what it is with these fabrications, you know? And then one of them just, you know, was sort of detrimental to you this last week. I don't know why I keep bringing it up. Man. I know y'all go, he say, why you keep bringing it up? Because it's so, it's such big, viral news. And I just want to show him some love because he did it, you know, trying to, you know, express his love. But then also that little bit of that, that's why I told y'all, man, last year, that little bit of that, it's a little bit of that deviousness that comes out. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. Y'all think it's all me. Wait till I tell y'all what's going on. That's going to be a hot topic. Cause I know it's a lot of y'all that have been looking at this on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And guess what? I got this news that if I come up, I'm going to let y'all know.
Uh-huh. Okay. So.
Whitney? Oh, go ahead. Well, what was you about to say?
No, I was going to ask, is this the real dirt? The real stuff that's coming up later. I can't wait.
Oh, it's gonna knock, what's the old school term, Will? It's gonna knock your socks off.
Oh.
This is gonna knock, it's gonna push your head back a little bit.
Oh my God.
Head back.
I'll try to think of something.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of news.
Go ahead, Whitney.
It's really big. But in a bad way. In the baddest way possible, it's big and it's bad at the same time. Like, it's really bad. What did you do this weekend, Whitney, before we conclude with Shad? Well, I think we got a couple of listeners. I haven't read the emails or nothing in a while. I just get, it's just a lot to go through all that. But go ahead, Whitney. Tell them what you did this weekend.
Well, aside from my normal work and stuff, I tried out, I think I told you about it, that where you do the floating pod, where you in the Epsom salt, and, like, they close the top over you, and you just, like, in this meditative state. I don't know if y'all have read up on that. Steph Curry does it. Anyway, I decided to try that out. I'm surprised I didn't have, like, an anxiety attack in there, but it was a real dope experience. Like, it was real interesting. I'm writing about it, so I'll have to share it with you when I finish, but that was the most exciting or unusual thing I did this past week.
Oh, wow. You said you got to write about it. That's what you said.
Yep. Got pictures and everything.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to know what it is. Can you give us like a little like sneak peek of what it is? Or is it like,
well,
release it to tell?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to talk about what I personally experienced in there. But as far as like what it is, it's just another like technique that people use to like disconnect. And so since I work with computers and I'm in screens all the time, like I literally feel like I'm always connected. So I did this as a way to kind of like break away from everything for just a moment and like give myself like an escape, so to speak. So it was a really like kind of, I don't know, like it's hard to describe, but it'll be in the blog post. Like I'll make sure I describe it as good as I can. Because I think other people should, like, try it out. It's pretty neat.
I'm looking forward to reading it. We getting ready to have a special guest on. It's actually our co-host, my cousin, and then also Whitney's sister, from another co-founder of As Told By Her, Haley Robinson. She's going to come on, I guess, when we get ready to go to break. Or she might pop on now. I don't know. Whatever the, how the spirit moves it. But, I know she got a lot of lots to say. She's had a busy week. But since summer is getting ready to go to a close next week, what has been like your highlights for the summer? Like highlight experiences, whether you went to like a concert or something happened, you found $20 walking home or something like that, or you know, they put extra guacamole on your taco or something like that stands out.
Well, you know, I'm interested.
Hey, Julian, free Julio hooked you up with a mojito or something like that, like at the bar or something.
Yeah, Well, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm not too much for me because, you know, some of the engineers and, this studio CEOs and stuff, we have to work all the time while you guys are playing, you know. When I get home.
Oh, playing? Are you serious?
Yeah, you know.
Do you know I took a vacation, all summer? Like, this is usually the time I take time off, but guess what? It's time to get to them bags, and guess what?
You have one coming up.
As soon as I hear that little, that email notification or that phone call, it's like, hey, there's a bag waiting on you. Guess where I was going? To that bag. But I still had some highlights there. But none of y'all had a highlight. None of y'all did nothing for the summer. Y'all
you know
just
what?
Like quiet, like, ah, like I ain't do nothing. I know DB got something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's nothing that I didn't go anywhere or do anything, but this is, I've been on this weight loss journey this summer.
Congrats on that.
Since May, I've lost 42 pounds. So that's
wow.
The
highlight for me is
you
like,
need the claps for that. That's,
wow.
That's
yeah, that's great.
Y'all can hear it. That's
hard,
the work right there.
But
yeah, it is.
It's the highlight. And I didn't, like, you know, when you're losing weight, you don't see it at first. And that's always been my problem with losing weight. Like, I'll give up. I'm like, oh, I don't see it. I'll give up. But then slowly your friends start seeing it. And when I actually went home to South Carolina, when my family saw it and commented, I was like, oh, maybe I am losing weight. And then, of course, it's just little stuff like, you know, none of your clothes fit. Are you buying new clothes in smaller sizes? But it's something about hearing, like, your family tell you, like, wow, you're really doing it. It kind of motivates you. So that's been the highlight of my summer is, like, not feeling like I'm on this terrible diet and I'm never going to make it to the finish line. It's kind of, you know, feeling like I'm doing something right and it's a lifestyle change that I'm adjusting, you know.
So what did you do?
Like
what did you do differently?
Lifestyle change instead of diet. Wait,
yeah.
What did you say?
No,
what,
I was asking.
Did you overtalk me? Like
I was going to ask EB, what did he do differently? Did you change, cut out calories?
Yeah.
Did you exercise more? What did you do?
Everything, honestly. So the first thing I had to do was I had to quit drinking for 2 months because I drink a lot and that can mess you up when you're trying to, you know, change something. So I had to quit for 2 months and slowly ease back into it. But I started the keto diet, which is high fat, medium protein, some vegetables and like low to no carbs. And I tended to lean towards no carbs. And then I started jogging 4 days a week. That's what did it.
Yeah, cardio exercises definitely help with losing weight.
Yeah.
I try to mix mine up because I drop weight real fast because most of mine is cardio too, and I'll lose weight real quick. And I didn't do that no more. I remember I did a no meat and no sugar one at the same time for like 90 days, and I lost 17 pounds. But most of it was just in my legs, in my arms and in my face or whatever. And so I lose weight like real, I've never been like really big. And so I've always looked scrawny since like college. And so I kind of like the weight on me. But when I did that fast, I lost so much weight. Like 17 is a lot to me because I only weighed, 140, when I was in college. And then I was like 125 when I was in high school. So I gained like maybe 10, 15 pounds, but I still like looked like scrawny. Still, and then when I lost, I think I was like 164 when I did that, but I carried it well, but I lost 17 pounds, and I looked, they thought I was on that stuff, that's what, but I lost too much weight.
You lost it too fast.
Oh my dad, yeah, I dropped it way too fast, cause
I didn't
have none of those sugars and stuff like that would hold on to it, cause most of them carbs and stuff, like, you get, like, a little weight on it, and I wasn't doing none of that. And so all that was cut out of it, alcohol, everything. And so I dropped all of it fast, and they was like, my dad's side of the family was like, they thought I was on, like, so I was like, and I was playing into it, so I was like, yes, every week, a little gram of cocaine, yes, absolutely.
I remember I was messing with my dad
or whatever. And we was out eating at a restaurant, and they was playing like Rick James. I think they was playing "Give It to Me, Baby," and I was like, "Yeah, they're all talking about Rick James." I was like, "All we need is some cocaine right now." We're having a party, and he started laughing.
Well, sure.
They think I'm stupid.
Oh my God. Well, I need to gain some weight. Maybe I need to drink more.
Oh, yeah. Listen, that'll do it.
That'll do
it. Oh yeah, it definitely will. We gotta stop the presses right now. We got, like I said before, co-founder of As Told By Her, my cousin, and also Whitney's sister. We got Miss Haley Robinson on Miss Booked and Busy Robinson. We got her on the line right now. What you doing? Welcome back to the show.
I'm here for all the claps. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, she definitely appreciates that. I know you. We just talk about our summer. You came in right on time because I know you had a busy summer. You just had a big summer and just started. You just graduated. You had graduation and just tell what you're doing now. So let the people know, the listeners know. What are you doing now?
What am I doing now? So what I'm doing right now is not near as dope as what I did this summer. So I'm going to talk about that first. So this summer, I spent my time in between New York and New Jersey. So I was working at Princeton with this nonprofit, trying to get high school students ready for college. And now I am a sixth grade ELA teacher. So I need y'all to pray because it has been a struggle.
You tell them where you went. The last time you on the show, you said you were heading to Princeton, was it? And then you were like all up through there. What were you doing?
Let me see. Well, my first week, I was in Manhattan for work. And so they paid for me to go up there and I did training and stuff with a nonprofit. And then for the next like 8 weeks, I was staying on the campus at Princeton in Princeton, New Jersey. So that was cool. And then we took the kids on like 6 college trip, so we went all like down the East Coast for the most part. So we went to like Georgetown, Columbia, Barnard, like a lot of the Ivy Leagues, just to show the students and get them prepared. So it was cool. It was cool.
Wow. And you said you're a teacher now, ain't you? You're a teacher?
I am a teacher.
Or assistant, or you really teaching? Like you giving, classes and stuff, you there all day.
What you mean, am I really teaching? I'm a teacher.
No! See, you already take it the wrong way. I'm saying, like, because that's a big deal for, like, to jump right into teaching or whatever. I didn't know if you was, like, an assistant teacher or whatever, because I know people that, like, when they first got in, they was, like, an assistant, like, a teacher, like, or whatever. They wasn't, like, teaching us actual class. So, I just want to know. I just need clarification. Hey, no, you already came out here getting hostile. I appreciate this, Haley.
I am the only sixth grade ELA teacher at my school. So I got all of the sixth graders. I'm teaching them all English.
And doing a great job at it.
I am taking it day by day. Trying to get myself together.
Amen.
Yes.
Yo, I just read something. When I was posting about the show, what was it? Earlier. I look on it casually sometime on my newsfeed, and I saw you had said something about that you was giving you were letting them look at lyrics to songs or whatever, like what was it?
So,
a Lauryn Hill song and then something else I saw.
Yes.
There.
So we're gonna
did you already do that?
No, it's tomorrow. I made the list today. So we're still working on analyzing text, and my poor babies have been struggling. So on tomorrow, we are going to analyze X Factor by Lauryn Hill, and we're going to do Black is Gold by Wale. So I got some questions. We're going to do some guided reading. We're going to have an open dialogue. We're going to get it together. So we're going to see how they do with that.
How is that going to break down you just want to hear their perspective on the song or what is the song saying?
Kinda. So really what I'm working on is their analytical skills. Like so it's not really right or wrong, but I need them to be able to think critically about a text, regardless of if it's a song or an article or a speech. You need to be able to pull out the context clues. You need to know what the central idea is. You need to be able to support your thoughts with contextual evidence. So I'm teaching those skills, not so much like necessarily their perspective on the song, but I mean, that comes along with it.
Okay. So I want you to contextualize, like, I want you to analyze our outtake of Lauryn Hill's X Factor song. First off, great vocals, great harmonies, you know what I mean? But getting into the lyricalness of the song, you know, she's talking about, you know, a breakup of, you know, just dealing with, you know, a trash dude. That's the consensus of the song. And it's like, she's like, I keep, I don't know the song by heart, but basically she's just saying that I need you. She's begging this dude to stay with her. And to me, I feel like that's a bad message. so I think, any of the students need to, like, really recognize, like, hey, she doesn't give good love advice, so. I think any of the students that say that, like, yo, Lauryn Hill picks trash men to sing about, and you'd be like, yeah, that's what it is. You need to give them 100. That's the analyzation and the contextualizing of, like, really what they're saying. And so when you give out the grade, like, if somebody say, yo, she dating a trash person, and then you like, give her 8, because that's the point of the song. Like, I need you to care for me. She's begging. She's begging. You just need to, I'm just saying.
Well, that's not how this works, but I just need them to think for themselves. I don't really have right or wrong answers. But also, a lot of them think they in love anyway, so I felt like maybe they think they could relate to Lauryn Hill.
Oh, no. They boyfriend asked for lunch money. During fifth period, like, can you run me $2 to get some hot Cheetos?
Right, everybody's in a relationship. They got exes and stuff. So it's really interesting. It's fascinating.
Oh, that's amazing. We were just talking about summer, so that's the only highlight. Did y'all do anything fun? Like, y'all had any fun adventures for the summer?
Haley almost got us kidnapped.
Well, that's a whole lot of that.
Oh, Lord.
Please expound on that. Okay. Yeah, tell that story. You can't just say that and then move on to something else. No, explain that story. I'd love to hear this. Go ahead.
I'm finally over it now, so I can talk about it. Long story short, we were in Miami. We decided to go take a tour to another one of the islands. Bimini, which isn't too far. We got over there. We didn't have a way back to the hotel where we needed to be, and we got a quote-unquote cab. The cab didn't look like American cabs, and so I really wasn't sure if the cab was going to take us where we were supposed to go. But what really set off my anxiety in motion is when we were trying to get into the cab to get back, I was hesitating because it was full of, like, some college age dudes. There was a ton of liquor in there. And so I was nervous, and the guy was like, get in. Like, what do y'all think I'm gonna do? Rape you? And I'm like, wow, that's the first thing that you said to me as we're hesitating to get in here to try to get back is, what do I think that you gonna rape me? Well, yeah, that's exactly how I'm feeling right now. So we made it back safely, obviously, but it wasn't too good, that part. But the rest of Miami was great. I'd go back in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah.
that ain't really how that went down. Like, no.
That was the quick version.
That
ain't what happened.
All y'all had to do was call me or Q Lynn, and we would have told that driver that we have a particular set of skills. And we was going to find him, and he would pay. We was going to get y'all out of there, wherever y'all was. Y'all was going to be probably...
That's good to know.
Listen, we was going to get y'all.
Appreciate that.
You a real one. Yeah. It was cool. You know, I'm always down for an adventure. I would, like, hop in.
Not that kind.
No, it was a cab, E-Dude. What you mean? They said a cab. Like, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, Q-Lynn, oh no.
Y'all, oh, wow. Evie, you do anything fun?
No, the only thing I did real fun this summer, I think, probably my North Carolina trip to the beach house.
And
other than that, like,
I don't know. Like, it just kind of feels weird. Like, I didn't go and do anything memorable. Like, I don't remember going to any really good concerts this summer. I went to the Spike Lee's Prince party. I did that.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually, that was, like, good. That was beautiful. Like, that, mm-hmm. I've never felt, like, so much love, like, than that moment. Like, mm-hmm. just everybody sharing in Prince. That was amazing. Because it was my first time going to one of his parties like that. But other than that, I don't think I really did anything noteworthy. Like, my life is just kind of, like, boring, man.
No, he's trying to keep the money to himself. That's what's going on.
I think I had fun. You know, I just had fun. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was about to say, I mean, I didn't get in any weird cabs or get kidnapped or anything. I just kind of... I just used the Uber app. That's what I did.
Okay, Evie.
So was that? So was that all one sided? Haley, you didn't feel like you was about to get kidnapped?
Okay, I mean, it was a little sketchy. However, I had faith that we was gonna make it out because I'm a fighter. You know, we was gonna get out one way or another. All right.
Okay. So. She's like, nah, not really. You know. It ain't no big deal that we almost got kidnapped. It didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like it didn't happen, so it wasn't a kidnapping, actually.
Right, exactly. And now I can go to the store.
I said almost. Well, almost.
That's funny. Haley is crazy. I'm sitting here about to eat. We about to go to break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to do 6 minutes of rage. Because I need to eat the rest of my food. I got my food here. I was waiting to do this, but I'm starving because my stomach is brown. And so we need to go break so I can eat some of my food. So we're ready. We go break real quick, and we'll be back with the 6 minutes of rage.
You only go.
Real nice. It's Tony Braxton.
Hey, we back, y'all.
On Earth. Oh, that is a slick jam there. Like that. And welcome back.
I know it is.
Yep. To the Soul Savage Show.
To my food. Yeah, we back, y'all.
Did you have enough time, Q-Man?
To my food. The, you know, the song that was in my spirit while I was hearing it, I was like, the shrimp taco is so good to me. Feeling good in myself. That's all I'm singing. I'm finished. I ain't killed this. I ain't knocked this out since we've been in break. Now I'm about to eat this chimichanga apple thing they didn't put in here. I don't know what it is. Sorry, y'all. Y'all hear me chewing on the mic. I'm eating because I haven't ate since early this morning. So, what we're going to do? Sorry for talking with my mouth full. We're going to do 6 minutes of raid with Will. So, Will's ready. We do 6 minutes of rage, aka Savvy Report.
All right.
Will got a lot to talk about. So, are you ready with your with the segment? There we go. 6 minutes of rage, y'all.
Oh my God is right. And welcome to the 6 minutes of rage on the Soul Savage Show. And you know, our heart goes out to the people all along the eastern seaboard. Man, all the way up the coast. What is that? Category 4 storm. What, 130, 140 degrees? I mean, miles an hour. Water flooding everywhere. Wow, wow, wow. I hope they have a better rescue effort than they did for our loved ones and neighbors and citizens in Puerto Rico. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your president, 45, saying that, hey, 3,000 people didn't die in Puerto Rico? He's denying the reports after report after report. I mean, what a slap in the face. Then he says, hey, they were in trouble before we got there. They had no electricity. They had no infrastructure. They were falling apart anyway. Can you imagine blaming somebody during tragic circumstances? And these people still, some still don't have power. And we're in the midst of a hurricane season. Some still don't have roofs over their head. And you still have to acknowledge the fact that 2,975 people died. And can you imagine what this guy says? Oh, man. He says they're ungrateful because it was an excellent response. He gives himself an A. Oh, my God. Hey, what do you got to get the guy that's worse than him? I don't know. We haven't found one yet. Anyway, going along with 6 minutes of rage here. Naomi Osaka, you know the rage that's been going on there about what's happened with that tennis match with her and Serena Williams, which happens to be one of the greatest tennis players that ever addressed the court. Now, there was something going on there with Serena and that umpire. He accused her of cheating. So, you know, Serena, she's not going to back down from anyone. She's not going to back down. So she said, hey, you are a thief. He took a game from her. Whether that would have changed the outcome of the match or not, we don't know. At that point, it was 4-3, and I believe that was the, I'm not sure which set that was, but that was a whole game, an entire game. Now, having said that, Naomi Osaka, you have to give it up to her. She won that match. Okay, moving right along. Oh, let's talk about the NFL, Colin Kaepernick. Oh, my goodness. A I appreciate Nike. Can you believe there are people that are slamming Nike, including your president? Can you believe that about being unpatriotic just because they gave this man a job? Well, you know, guess what? Nike is Nike, and the reason why they are so rich is because they are unconventional. They do what they want to do. They just say, hey, let's do it. That's Nike. My hat's off to you. Now, my point is, and why I'm so enraged about this, because no administration should get involved with a private enterprise in the first place. Remember him talking about the post office and Amazon, and now he's in a fight with Ford because they want to produce some of their smaller cars in China, so he's going against them. Oh boy, can you believe this? Anybody who doesn't go along with what this knucklehead wants, then guess what? They are anti-patriotic. And guess what? Harley Davidson are no longer his friends either. But I guess you know who is though. Oh boy, boy. The NRA. Those same people that got $13 million from Russia, and mysteriously $13 million ended up in the Trump campaign coffers. Can you believe that? But anyway, my head back off. Back off Trump, because guess what? Nike, they say, hey, we don't give a damn what you say. We're going to just do it. So you need to back off. Did you realize also his main man, Paul Manafort, just struck a deal? Oh boy, with the special counsel, a guilty plea. The guy that Trump say, hey, would never turn on me. Oh, he's not going to squeal. But guess what? They all going down. Don Jr. Oh, you know, Jeff Sessions, the little Keebler elf. Hey, guess what? He's going along with them. Rick Gates, George Papadopoulos, and the rest of them, and he's trying to say, look, it has nothing to do with me. I'm cleaning the swamp. But guess what? You got the swamp all around you, and guess what? You are the alligator. Oh, you know what? The justice, the Supreme Court justice, they're trying to rush through. The Republicans are trying to push through a Supreme Court justice. Hey, why are they all in a hurry? But guess what? Senator Cory Booker, the black congressman, Democrat, says, you know what? I'm going to release some of these documents that you guys don't want to show the public. It's a big fight, folks. You need to pay attention. But better still, when November comes around, we need to get out and vote. It makes a difference. Your vote makes a difference, because this Supreme Court justice that we have here now, who was appointed by Trump, and remember that they denied Obama from even suggesting or nominating a judge. They held off. They wouldn't even bring it to the floor. They didn't even take a vote. But this guy here is pro-Trump, pro-life, pro-torture, and a whole bunch of things that they don't even want you to talk about. All right, folks, I tell you what, that is my 6 minutes of rage. But I want the panel to kind of chime in on some of these things that we just brought up, you know, and because we have people in the White House like Ben Carson and Betsy DeVos, and then you got all these, and these black preachers, oh boy, I didn't even get a chance to get into that. But anyway, if you're one of these black churches, one of these black preachers that's supporting Trump, you need to ask for a refund. Hey, that's my 6 minutes of rage.
Yeah, excuse me. We don't talk about the Nike one, but I'll talk about the one just recently. I'm surprised you didn't talk about them taking $10 million of FEMA money to the build those cages for the illegal immigrants. They did that. Like, I'm trying to figure out why nobody's making a big deal about that.
Well, because
that's crazy. When I read
yep, it. That's exactly it, right.
They just reported that.
Yep,
I saw it on Rachel Maddow's show.
They sure did. That $10 million was supposed to be going to the relief fund, but they gave it to ICE.
Yeah.
But they FEMA transferred to ICE.
In North Carolina, Virginia, and then it's another state, state in the South that the hurricanes that's happening. I think it's like three different ones.
Yeah, well, it's South Carolina, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia.
South Carolina. Yeah, that's what it was. It was South Carolina. I
right.
Think of the other one. But yeah. But yeah, that was crazy when I read that earlier today. I'm like,
well, you know, see, there's a whole lot going on you guys don't realize, because Ben Carson, you know, the black dude that's it's Secretary of Housing. Well, you know, he raised the rent on the lower income people. And you know who's benefiting from that? Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, because they own properties, and some of that money that's coming out of the housing is going to Trump. And how come nobody's talking about that? To me, that has to be a conflict of interest.
Right. It should be. I don't know why it's not. But yeah, you were talking about people voting. I see a lot of, I think, didn't New York's come up? Or is it coming up, their primary? I see people today, talking about the district attorney that's running in New York, and I see a lot of people talking about it on my timeline. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The primary is today in New York, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Everybody here in New York, y'all have about an hour to get to the polls. The polls close at 9 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah. Uh-huh. But yeah, I see a lot of people talking about that, and then also just people, I just see a lot of good momentum switching to the blue side, and I like that. I think a lot of people are like more involved, and then they're actually going to the meetings that they're having. What is it, Cynthia Nixon? She just, I guess we could add her to Savvy News, but I guess we're talking about 6 minutes of raids, but just to end off that, I think most of the stuff, it was just, mostly, I was just raised about that, was just that, that FEMA thing. I was like, we just gonna skip over that? Like, people just, like, see it in the news, like, that's not a big deal. It's just, like, frustrating looking at this, administration. It's ridiculous. But thank you, Will, for the 6 minutes of rage. We're gonna get to the Racky and Savvy News.
Yeah.
So we get to the topic for, oh, go ahead.
I'm just gonna wrap it up by saying, we miss a lot of those things, important, things like you just said, because there's so much other stuff going on out here. You know, you got, then you got your foreign affairs, you got North Korea, you got Russia, you got all these scandals and stuff like that. So you can see how something like this can be buried under the rugs, right? Somebody talk about it a little bit, but no, it is a big deal, but a lot more of that's going on and you don't know. A lot of people don't realize insider trading, money laundering. There's a whole, I'm telling you, this thing is deep. And when it finally comes out, you know, people are going to say, whoa, I didn't know. Well, we really need to start paying attention.
Right, exactly. We're going to get to the Raggedy News. And you ended up, you talked about that match. He's talking about the U.S. Open Finals Championship that happened last week.
Right.
Last Saturday. And it was actually the second set. I watched some of it. I didn't see the ending of it because I had to travel, so I didn't see all of it. But from what I saw, Serena lost the first set, and they were in the second set, and it was tied. And what happened was her coach said that he was trying to signal to her, but I don't think she was looking at him. I don't know what the rules say about if they have to actually make eye contact for that to be a violation, but I think it's still a violation if they try to signal to you. So I don't know. That rule in particular, it's like certain particulars about tennis rules, and I'm not 100% on that. But
yeah, well, see, this is what happens, Kulin, the way it goes, he could have warned her if she thought. But see, Serena says something that most people miss. She says, "Look, I've won so many matches, I have so many championships, I don't need to cheat." She said, "I wasn't even looking at him." Now, he was making motions in his box. Now, I'm not sure whether he was trying to motion to her or he was trying to explain to somebody in the box what she should have been doing. But Serena doesn't need coaching. She's out there in the middle of the championship. She doesn't need coaching. And so she said, "Look, I don't need to cheat." So when she called him a thief, he took the point away. But he could have warned her. He didn't have to take that point.
Well, from what I heard, I don't think she heard the warning. Now, I'm not saying
it wasn't a warning.
There wasn't something there. I don't. No. I'm saying that Serena, he gave a warning. I saw the video. It was like 5 minutes long. He gave her a warning, and I don't think she heard that warning. Because if she would have heard that it was a warning, she wouldn't have said that. That's why I think happened. Because once the referees got involved, because she wanted to talk to the referees, and once they came up and they said that she what the rules of what she violated, and she contended to what they were saying because she didn't, cause even, and when she was talking to them, she seemed like she didn't know that he gave her a warning. And I don't think she heard it.
Mm.
I don't think she heard the warning.
I think the warning was that because she was cussing him out, he was warning her to be cussing at me. So I don't think.
Well, she wasn't even cussing at him. She was just like she was wanting an apology or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear most of what he said. I just heard her, what she was saying. I didn't really hear no microphone around him, so I could barely hear him.
Right.
But she was just saying, she wanted an apology. And then I thought it was, I thought it was whack that he took the point away. Because it was tied, and whenever they took the point away, it made her go down 3 because it was 4-3 after that. And my whole thing was, okay, I feel like he was just mad that she did that. So I think sexism was a part of that, but then I also think that if she would have heard him give a warning, then she wouldn't have said that. But she was just in the moment. But then also I didn't like, it's this, what's in Raggedy News is this cartoonist. I saw this, named Mark Knight. He did, a cartoon, and you know, they do that sometimes. It's normal, but this shit is completely racist. If y'all know anything about how they drew a Jim Crow, if you know anything about them, how they used to draw us in a Jim Crow era, this looks exactly like the first off, she don't look nothing like this. This looks like a fat, out of shape, like she doesn't even look like she's in shape. It just looks like a big fat, in the cartoon, looks like a big fat black woman with big lips and a big nose. This looks nothing like her. And then on the side where the umpire is, they have this, racially ambiguous, what's that crayon called? The one that, she was like that crayon that you couldn't identify in the box. Like it was like a, what is it called? It wasn't white. It looked peach, like a peach color. Like they got this girl, what's her name? Osaka, what's her name? Naima. Osaka.
Osaka.
Yeah. Got her looking like she's Michael Jackson in 1992 with blonde hair. Like,
what?
And, she's Haitian and half Jamaican. And they got her looking like a Caucasian woman.
Wow. If you saw her, she's
but
black.
Yeah, it's completely racist. But yeah, that cartoonist is in Raggedy News. He works for the Herald Sun. But yeah, this is completely racist. And I'm not fixing the, I saw people on comments talking about, no, that's not racist. I'm like, yes, it is. This is the, and they said, this is how Australian, I want to cuss so bad. I don't care, what it is. What it is. It still perpetrates racism. Whether it's in Australia, in UK, wherever it's at, it's racism, period. And that, hopefully that person, he probably must still have a job, but he ragged, I can't cuss like I want to, so I'm gonna move on to somebody else. Y'all got anything to say about, did y'all see that cartoon of Serena?
Yeah, Williams? I mean, it's completely, there's no denying that it's racist, because if it weren't, everyone in the cartoon would have been drawn the exact same way, but they weren't. Serena was depicted in a way that is offensive to black people historically, so there's no excuse for, oh, that's not racist, this is the way Australians do it. No, that was worldwide.
Y'all have anything, Haley or Whitney?
No, I just think it was trash.
Yeah, same. I just thought it was really interesting how they made Osaka almost look like a white woman. Because, you know, historically, and I mean, even now, we always have these images or ideals when talking about white women as being, like, pure and sacred and, like, you know, fragile. And I was like, this is ridiculous. One, she's not even white. But why does Serena being what I guess some people would say, like, completely black, you know, why is she being depicted like that? And this other girl who is, like, biracial, she gets this whole other identity, which essentially reflects back on Serena, making her look like this monster. I thought it was just, it was unnecessary. Like, it was too much. It was awful.
Yeah. It had, you know, how else can you take it? Because if you look at Naomi Osaka, she's not that, like, if you took a shades of color, she's not that too many, she's not too many shades lighter than, Serena is anyway, if you look at it. She is dark. Naomi Osaka is dark. Yeah. And you pointed it out also, her dad is Haitian, her mom is Japanese. So why didn't she say that she's Haitian?
Huh?
How come nobody is recognizing her as being Haitian?
Well, this is
the thing.
She acknowledges that she's part Haitian because she brings it up.
Okay.
But since she's now, you know, quote unquote winning, and it's, you know, she's popular and in the spotlight, news outlets and the media, they're referring to her as Japanese, and they're forgetting that her father is Haitian. And every time they do that, I've noticed that she corrects them and she goes, and I'm half Haitian as well.
You know, and that tells me that, yeah, you know, and that tells me that she is conscious of what they're doing.
Yep, she is. And I yep.
Yeah, she even said under her breath, I watched one, and she said they do this all the time.
Wow.
But they didn't, yeah. But she said that under her breath while they was interviewing her.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, she knows. You know, my hat's off to her, and she's only 20 years old. And she's going to go, and she also, and she has a huge, huge Japanese following, obviously. Because that's the first time they've won the U.S. Open in history anyway. But no.
She made history with that. I just hate that they overshadowed that moment of her winning. And for people saying that it was over with, it was the second set, it was tied. Y'all don't watch tennis, because Serena, when she plays somebody new, she always plays from behind. In the second set, she wins. The third set, she wins. And then it's game over. I watch her play tennis all the time. And she always, whenever she's playing somebody new, she always tries to feel it out. And then when she gets in the second set, that's when she gets in beast mode and starts acing, throughout her serves. And so they were tied 4-4. And when he took the point away, it made it 4-3. I just hate this whole thing of saying that, oh, she got emotional and all that stuff because she was losing. No, she plays like this all the time. Like, I just hate how they try to stifle somebody that's passionate when they're playing. And they do it especially with women. Like, you can't be mad and shit, because they used to do that to me when I was in high school. I'm like, you get mad, like, because you want to win. Like, and you want to push yourself. Like, I just hate everything that comes with that. Like, because she's a great athlete. She got to overcome all this stuff. They drug test her way more than you would a regular tennis player. They're intimidated by her build and her athleticism. They're intimidated by how great she is, because I just hate the whole thing. And then she still has to have dignity and all that stuff after losing and all that debacle, and have to congrats. Even though that was probably genuine with her, encouraging and giving the Japanese girl, or half Japanese, half Haitian girl, props or whatever after the fact. But it was just messed up, I think, all around, because y'all messed up Serena's chance at winning, and then also this girl, like, she won by default. So that she probably would want to win fairly instead of having it, you know, decided by something stupid. But that's just my opinion. But we get to the cream of the crop of this raggedy news, what I would tell y'all about at the beginning of the show. I don't know how I want to start this off. I feel like I should put on my publicist hat real quick. Okay, my client. I want to put your government name out there. Eric M. Black, because you're kind of the...
Dang.
We're doing a press statement. Wow. I have to do a press statement real quick. So we got Eric M. Black. Has put out a tweet in the night of last Saturday night. He put out a tweet. It was actually a retweet, so this isn't technically on his on my client's head. He retweeted something that said of I think I have it pulled up here in my notes. Give me just a second, lovely people. I'm putting on my publicist hat, so I got to put on my professional Caucasian voice. I don't think I have a professional Caucasian voice. We're gonna make it work. Let me see. I'm trying to pull up the actual tweet. Give me 2 seconds. Okay, here it is. It says, this is from @BGRS. It says, I swear Twitter is like rumors in the cafeteria. Shit gets spread so recklessly. And then my client retweeted and said, from what I can tell from my timeline, Mary J. Blige and Faith Evans started fighting at Puff's White Party in the Hamptons tonight, with a question mark at the end. And so basically my client was just trying to say, you know, that, you know, how, you know, rumors get started on Twitter, like we're in high school in a cafeteria. So I don't think, you know, my client is actually responsible for this sort of viral anonymous. He's not really anonymous anymore, because I just told who it was. But if y'all saw a tweet out there or Instagram post or a meme that said that Faith Evans and Mary J. Blige were in a fight at the Hamptons / New York Fashion Week, that was not true, and I believe my client should be rid of all allegations of him starting this rumor. I don't think it's fair for my client to be under this heat lamp of pressure of having to weigh that he started this rumor. I don't think it's fair. for the public to do this. And I think if we just analyze the facts here that I just put out there, that clearly he was making, you know, satire comedy tweet that was lost upon people that don't like, they like to read with their finger in the words like they're in third grade, you know, those people that have reading comprehension. I feel like it's upon those individuals, with simple-minded, one-dimensional brains. I feel like it should be left upon those people and not my client. And so, all questions you have about this manner, you can, email me at, WeDon'tGiveAFuck@gmail.com. Listen, man. EB, okay, I took it off now. That was too professional. EB became an anonymous viral sensation on the internet with this tweet about Mary, this alleged fake, I'm not going to say alleged because it's absolutely false, it's fabricated. Right. This complete fabricated story that Mary J. Blige and Faith Evans had a fight over the weekend. This is 100% not true.
Wow.
And people saw his tweet and ran with it, it became viral within minutes. Like, literally minutes. It became viral.
This week alone, I've been on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, podcast.
Wow, I didn't know about the Ricky Smiley show. Wow.
There are reputable news sources reporting.
No, he's not even getting to the fun part, y'all. He had head directors at Combs Enterprises. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy Combs.
What?
EB, what?
Oh,
what?
EB, giving a statement.
He had the head director of Combs Enterprises to come out and say this was false. No, that ain't even the icing on the cake. This is the icing on the cake. The queen of soul, hip hop soul herself, had to come out
to make a statement. Yes.
Yeah, I did say that. I saw that.
And this was all in the hands of our very own co-host on Soul Savage Radio Show. Anonymous sensation on the internet. Anonymously.
Like, on one hand.
It's all him.
You said, women, hold
on. One hand. What do you say, Will?
Yeah, no, as she says anonymous. Are you saying anonymous or unanimous?
Oh, my bad. Anonymously, like nobody knows who it is. Like it just spread. And you know, like, I told him on the phone, what was it, the other day, I was like, you're the first person I've ever known to, like, know, you know, like, rumors come out, you don't know how they started? Like, he's the first person I ever known that was, like, the source of a rumor. I've never known anybody that started a rumor.
Wow.
I'm like, thank you, because I've never known anybody like that.
All right, let me explain.
Okay, please.
As my publisher said, it was satire. I was really trying to make
it
a point.
It was satire.
So what happened was that same night, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B were in that fight or whatever. And I kept seeing her on my timeline, and that's why the girl tweeted that stuff spreads like rumors in the cafeteria. Me personally, I'm too old to know or care about what Nicki Minaj and Cardi B are doing. So I was like, who do I like? Who would I care if they were fighting? And I was like, you know what? Mary and Faith. So I tweeted it knowing that people would still, that's why I retweeted it, knowing that people would still see the original tweet about rumors spreading, but they still didn't read that far. And I was just like, wait. And then radio stations started reporting it. And then before I know it, like, there are celebrities on Twitter retweeting stuff. And I was just like, yo, like, all this because I said this. I was actually, I found it amusing because I was like, y'all proving my point. That people don't read. Everybody just, everything is clickbait, retweet. Yo, the Mary J. Blige fans hate me now. I've been kicked out of a Mary J. Blige fan group on Facebook. Like, it's in the group, and he was sending me screenshots. Like, they are talking about you. They are talking about you. I still find it kind of funny, because I was just like, come on now. Does that even seem like it's a real thing?
First off, they should have been. This is how you know some people ain't part of, or just don't know, research parties, like, Hollywood parties, because Puff don't never throw no Hampton party after Labor Day, so they should
and I said his white party in the Hamptons after Labor Day.
He don't never
throw
no party after Labor Day.
No.
Dang. Well, see, people don't care about that. Hilarious. Bad news sells fast. They wanted it to be true. Yeah. They wanted that.
What's so bad is that I hate that it went viral because they under Faith Evans Instagram, like everything she posts, she's like, oh, I'm here with Stevie J. And they're like, but did you fight Mary though? Like, do you got footage? Like, getting those comments, like, as soon as you open it.
I love it.
They keep bombarding her with questions. I was like, oh my God, this is all EB. And then you had our very own hip hop journalist that's been on the show multiple times, Tiffany Hamilton. She was asking questions on Facebook. I was like, girl, check your inbox real quick. Let me tell you something. I got to holler at you for a second. I told her, this is 100% false. And she's like, see that? He played too much. I was like, girl, I told you. That's all him. And then you had people, I told people, literally, this is a false statement. And they was like, but maybe. I was like, what are you talking about? You had me debating with people that this was real. I was like, my dude, this isn't real. He's like, but maybe it is because they had beef in 95 because of this record that was on Faith's album, and maybe it was.
I was like, oh my God, this is all EB. I blame everything on this whole conversation.
EB, I'm impressed.
Right. Yo, though. I was thinking that too. The fact that people took your word and was like, "Oh, it's real." Oh, I'm like, "Who is EB? Do I not really notice?"
Apparently, we don't.
Right. In total, he had over 1.3 million people.
Wow.
Engaged.
EB. Dang. Who got the news now?
More than that. EB, when I looked on Twitter, he was.
Wow.
He was trending on Twitter. He was number four, the Mary J. Blige versus Faith Evans. That was trending on Saturday. It was at number four.
Wow, I love it.
On Twitter.
I love it.
Yeah.
Almost over 50,000 tweets on Twitter, and then it was like certain people, I guess that's popular on Instagram, they got over, I saw one of them had over 500,000, and then other people that were talking about it, it got over 1 million. So it was about total 1.3 million people that was talking about it. It may be more than that. That was just from what I saw.
Hey, EB.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get together after the show. We're going to put out the fake news report. How about that?
Right.
Can
you
share
one of our videos real quick?
Look, I was trying to tell everybody. I was like, I'm on social media almost every day. Like, I tweet, like, important music history. I tweet videos. I tweet facts. I tweet about Soul Savage's show. None of that stuff goes viral and travels the way that news did. And I was like, I'm giving y'all, like, good stuff, like music history. I'm giving y'all behind-the-scenes stories. Q-Lin is on every Thursday. We giving y'all good content.
Right.
But y'all not interested in what's real or getting on here and hearing. We'll do a 6 minutes of rage report. Y'all want mess. Yeah. Y'all want
mess.
Even tweeted the same night, and I said, y'all, this is a rumor that I made up. I apologize. The same night. And they didn't care. They were still like, oh, no, it's got to be.
Oh, no. They wanted to be real.
They were still going with it.
I'm telling you.
Perception sells. Because they want that to happen. That's why it trended. Because they like, I could believe that happened because she's better than her. Oh, she sings better than her. Her album is better than her album. And they want that friction because it sounds believable. And then also, like you said, with the Nicki Minaj, it started trending because they like mess in groups on Twitter. They like everything in threes and fours so they can make a meme about it because that's what the meme is. Like, Nicki's fighting. They fighting. They was like, September is becoming because they want something like cute and clever, you know, corny shit they be doing on the internet. So they got to have it in threes and fours. They like gossiping, like they have, they say death comes in threes or something. They like, they gossip in threes. So that's why I was trending because Nicki, that beef you was talking about happened.
Yeah.
And then that happened at the same time. So that's why it trended. But
I'm going to
gossip like that. Go ahead.
I'm going to start another room. I'm going to tell everybody Mary and Faith going to be on the Soul Savage show next Thursday.
So next Thursday at 4 Pacific Standard Time.
That's right.
They know, they can actually come here for real and be on the show. Like, we can make
it
true. I just want to put that in the universe. Just going to put that out there.
Come on.
You know what's funny? I don't even want to tell this. I don't even tell this on air. I'll tell y'all off air. I gotta tell y'all that. But
it's got to be bad.
Something that was about to happen. I'll tell y'all off air. I can't tell y'all on there because it's too much confidential information. But Evie became an anonymous viral sensation over the weekend and. Yeah, had me defending them. I had to tell people, and then some of them didn't want to believe me. I thought that was the wildest thing that ever happened. I was like, wow, like y'all are wild. And it's people that I've been following since like 09 or whatever, you know, since I started on Twitter, and they were like, nah, this gotta be real. I was like, dude, calm down.
Man.
This isn't. But yeah, that, I just hate how gossip is like the perfect place, perception sells. Is this perception of like celebrities and just the idea of perception is this the idea of it. That's how they make money. Like, not to say any of the publications, y'all know who it is because y'all probably frequent like I do just to look at it. And that's all people want to know is getting people's business and what they feel somebody's life is like, behind, you know, closed doors or what they feel like it is just from stories that they read. And that's what sells. I'm like, that's when I first started, wanted to start a website. That was actually, I'm actually wanting to start a gossip blog, but I just wasn't, it was just too much of a hassle because you have to be so, even when you put out alleged information with, pictures and stuff like that, it's like, it was like too many, situations to where you could get in trouble with, certain people, with their management and with whatever because you gotta, say, where did you get this information from? And sometimes this and that. It's just too much of a hassle. And so I was like young. I was like 18 or something like that whenever I was thinking about doing it. And I didn't start doing this until I was several years later when I started this music site. But yeah, it's easy money to do gossip. It's just a hassle. And you definitely will get tired of doing it if you're in that field. But you know, that's how they work. That's how they get their money. That's like the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, Cal right there is gossip blog, and they learn how to update the game because nobody really clicks on stories anymore. They just read the headline.
Yep.
And so if you got somebody that can write a good headline, they'll just read the story, and then they don't even go to the website. They'll just look at the headline and then comment from there. And then also like people like the Shade Room, they changed it up because they put all their gossip on Instagram, and so they have a website, but nobody goes on there. To look at their story, they just read it from that caption in their Instagram post, and then look at the picture of what the headline is, and that's it. But yeah, that's how they make their money. It's easy. Perception of celebrity is easy currency. It is there's a lot of money in that.
That's pretty amazing.
That's why I stay away from it because I don't like, and that's why it's just I hate like those are the ones that celebrities go to. So they can get a hold of the story and so they don't have to, you know, fabricate stuff. But I hate that they don't ever really have like, not to insult their intelligence, but they don't really have people that are in depth with culture, like with entertainment culture. They ask like the same questions, like it's like a same cycle of them asking the same questions because they just want to get to the gossip and get to the easy stuff that they know that their listeners or the people that comment on the post that want to ask those questions. And then 9 times out of 10, they're not going to believe it no way because they're going to take whatever the information they get, the people that's listening, they just going to take it and flip it the way they want to. That's how it goes. But if you get somebody, like Evie said, if you get somebody quality, it takes so long for people to get quality. And that's why we got to throw stuff in there to get their interest. Because if I just talked about music all day, people wouldn't be tuning into this show because they want us to get the ragged news and stuff like that. Like who's in ragged news? Who's in, you know, because they, and even that is just me like talking stuff about whoever it is, but I'm not like going to go on and say, oh, somebody's, messing with somebody. Like I don't do that. We don't do that on this show. I don't care about none of these people and who they date and who they marry and all that stuff. It's good, you know, if I see it on Instagram, it's a nice picture. Okay, I like it. But I'm not invested. People are like really invested in people's lives. That's so amazing to me because I'll see these people out and I'm like, they ain't even like that in real life. I'm like, and then some of them are, but then it's like they got other sides to them besides whatever perception you got of them. So it's always weird that people like have like sort of this, It is stalkerish, though. Like, stan culture, that shit is weird. Like, that whole Nicki Minaj fascination, her fans are, like, freaking sociopaths. Like, there's nothing wrong with them cats, man. They threaten people. Have y'all seen that? We was talking about that. I forgot what week we was talking about that, but her fans are some weirdos, man. And that whole beef thing, I don't even want to talk about that, because I thought that, I was going to put that in Ragged News, but I just didn't, I was like, man, this is just, I was like, we could put them both in Ragged News. Because I was like, I don't know who to side with, because I'm like, this is like pointless and stupid. But definitely right. Nicki Minaj, because she provoked the whole thing, but yeah. I'll definitely say she first in line in Ragged News, because she was raggedy for that. Because that's how it is, like, even though Cardi's new to it, but you can't just, like, be saying passive-aggressive stuff and then think somebody just gonna let that slide, because, and then, oh, man, she just got a whole, it's just something wrong with her. I just think, I'm just going with the notion now that there's something wrong with her, because she just, it's some kind of chemical imbalance happening, and I just don't know how to assess Nicki Minaj, and I'm not really a fan of her music. She don't show no progression. And so her thought process with her music is, I feel like, is the same in her in real life. So I can't even give an opinion on any of that, because I think she's still trying to hold on to trying to be number one, and then she's trying to tear. That's just my opinion. I feel like she's trying to tear down any female rapper she think is going to steal her spotlight. That's just my opinion. But y'all got anything? I think I'm trying to figure out what else is in Savvy News. Did y'all got anything else to add on there?
Mm-mm.
Yep. But yeah, man, sorry, man, EB. that was funny. You don't know how hard, y'all don't understand, when I saw that on the internet, you know how, like, you just casually look on? It was, like, late at night, and so I was getting ready to go to bed, and I just casually looked on there, and I saw them talk about Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, and I was like, oh, they're fighting at a big event or whatever. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then people was making a big deal about it. And then I just kept scrolling, and I saw somebody say, man, they blind it, fake their response. And it was just questions. It was nobody, like, with a source. Because I was looking right. for the source. I was like, where's the article at so I can click on it and see where it's coming from and see, like, what credible source it is that's, you know, reporting on it. And I didn't see it, and I just kept, like, well, where did it come from? I'm like, what is everybody talking about? And then I just kept following. And then me and Evie follow, like, the same people. And so it was, I saw people retweeting EB and what he said, and it was like, oh, that's your ass. And then I clicked on it. I was like, oh, shit, this is EB. I was like, I laughed so hard when I found out that was him. I was like, I was dying. I just fell asleep laughing. And then when I woke up that morning, and that's when I looked, because I think I stopped after I saw that Nicki Minaj fight, that video, and then I went to sleep, and then when I woke up, I was trying to figure out who it was, and then I saw it easy. I was like, oh my God. And the source wasn't long to find either, because everybody kept retweeting him, so it wasn't hard to find it. That was funny.
Evie, you're on to something. He's on to something.
Right. Right, exactly. If he won't make, listen, it's a lot of people that got, like, little side, I know a lot of bloggers that got little side websites and stuff. You want to make an anonymous website, because I know a lot of people, bloggers, not to give out the plug, but what they do, but.
But the crazy thing is,
some of them that know, they got, like, fan websites, like Rihanna and stuff like that, and they'll buy the domain, because that shit is money right there. They get about 1.1 million hits on that, just for having the name. And you can get something like that going, EB, and just, like, get, like, a fan page of, like, all the fake Evan and Mary J. Blige stories. That is all over there. It gets you. I'm just on the lookout there. You can make that happen. There's a lot of people, dignified bloggers that I know that do that. They just got extra multiple checks going on with the hits and stuff. I'm just saying. It's just an idea. Don't y'all steal that either. Don't be listening there trying to steal that, okay? I don't even think I was supposed to be telling that. I don't even think that's supposed to be public knowledge. I think I just gave somebody up. But I ain't say no name, so technically I didn't.
Nobody said name.
I'm just saying. I ain't going to say no name. Whatever. We're going to move on to other raggedy news. Oh, I got to give updates from last week. Thanks. Oh, I got to say, I didn't shout out Naima. We got to have her back on. Because we got kind of good. It got kind of good at the end. And the What's Wrong With You game we played with it. I posted it. It's already on the website, EB, if you want to listen to it. But I think you, I don't know if you're going to be disappointed in knowing what she picked in the Patty versus Reese. I don't know if you're going to be disappointed or
wait,
what.
Man.
What?
Naima, nah. Come on, Naima.
I ain't going to tell what it is. I just need you to check out.
Oh,
I called, man. I called, last week's show, I called it, Quest for Nike Fire. And if somebody could tell me where that movie is, it's a playoff of a movie. So if you could tell me, that movie, I'll send you something. I'll give a giveaway or something. I'll give you something real nice. If whoever that's listening in right now, if you could tell me what year that movie is and what that movie is, I give you a little something, something on there. But I called it Quest for Nike Fire. I was going to call it something else. I was going to call it Caucasian Tears. I think I was going to call it, no, I was going to call it Saltine Tears. That's what I was going to call it. But I didn't want to, you know, we got a lot of, London, Caucasian listeners, so I don't want to, you know, offend them. So, you know what I mean? Not them calling, y'all not the Saltines I was talking about. Those Saltines, those burning Nikes and stuff being stupid. That's what I was talking about. So, also.
Oh my God.
We didn't talk Nike. About somebody, yes, Quest for Nike Fire. That's what I called it. It's a playoff of a movie. I just try to come up with clever stuff. And then also the one we had Lee on, I called it A Line of Shoppers in picture of Lauryn Hill there. I just try to be creative with it if I don't, we don't have an interview or something like that. But we forgot to talk about last week. I'm just going to mention this, Dr. Dyson. We mentioned him a little bit, but my dude was given these $200 words. And I was like, I'm not sure I had to. I Googled one of them because he's like, you lugubrious. Leech, I was like, what? How do you spell lugubrious? I had to sound it out and everything with the syllable. I was like, lugubrious. I was like, how do you spell that? I was like, is it L? It's like Luigi. I thought it was like you spell like Luigi. I was like, he said lugubrious. I was like, I ain't never heard that word before. I was talking about when Dr. Dyson was talking to Aretha Franklin's homegoing service. He was like, you lugubrious. I was like, that is a word. I had never heard that word, but I heard the other word. He said, you dim-witted dictator. You foolish fascist. I was like, damn. He throwed out all these words. He's talking about Donald Trump. Y'all know who I was talking about, but that lugubrious one threw me off. I was like, I got to Google this. I was like, what does that mean, lugubrious? But yeah, y'all know how to spell lugubrious?
Yeah, I had that one up too when he said it. I wasn't ready.
I don't know. Aretha wasn't ready. I saw Aretha cross her legs real quick when he said it.
Right. They was doing Devo.
Yo, man, we had fun. Like, you missed it, EB, because we was talking about that. We talked about that lady that it was. She went viral. She fell asleep at Aretha's funeral.
Sleep knocked out.
Somebody on Twitter was like, somebody need to see if we need to put her in there with Aretha. I was dying laughing. It was funny. It's like they need to check to see if they need to put her in there with Aretha. She was knocked out. See, I know that's right. You get a good, you could have took three naps in there. I know for sure. No, 2, 4, 6, 8. Yep, you could have had about 4 naps in there as long as that funeral was. I was like, knocked out.
It was a work day. It was crazy.
A whole work day. You had your 3 set meals. You had breakfast, lunch, and dinner during that service. And then Naima said they didn't have the Passover till 10 o'clock at night. I would have been out.
Oh yeah,
I would have been.
I would have went home. That's a long
and then,
time.
And then, right, exactly. That was forever. But yeah, it was a great service. I watched what I did. I started watching it late, so I missed some of it. But we already discussed that last week. But they was wanting me to talk about Ariana Grande's dress. I didn't think it was appropriate. This is my thing. Like, I know I say a lot about church or whatever. I've made some controversial statements on here. But when it comes, like I said last week, when it comes to, like, certain religions that have certain ways about church attire, I respect that 100%. Like, whether you're a Buddhist or a Muslim, Christian, whatever, if you have to wear a certain attire to that church, I feel like you should respect that. And my thing was, I thought it was 100%, like, not appropriate. For like, cause you're in a pulpit and it was above your knees, not to be like that, not like to be so old fashioned about it, but dress was just too short. I don't know who was her people that was like, yeah, girl, go out there with that dress on. Cause I don't even think that's acceptable if she went to a Hebrew hall or whatever they call it, whatever, wherever they have church at, if she was going somewhere Jewish, I don't think you could dress like that either. So I just thought that was, but I think people were trying to make the inclination that the reason why he grabbed her like that because she was dressed like that. And I was like, no, that, I can talk about how bad that dude was for grabbing her, and then also point out that she should have been wearing a dress. But those are two separate, ideologies of what I was saying. But I did think her dress was too short. Did y'all think it was appropriate for her to wear that in the
pulpit? I didn't
either, but I also, just like you were saying, it doesn't, whatever she had on, she doesn't need to be grabbed or groped, inappropriately, yeah. Even if her dress is inappropriate. But no, I was always taught that when you go to church, especially, if you're going to be like in front of people like that, that you wear an attire that, is more modest and less revealing. Cause outside of this area, her with that dress, she looked fabulous. And like, I like the dress, but at that particular event, I didn't think it was appropriate, or at least I wouldn't have worn it.
Same. Right. Exactly. I think, yeah. Oh, Evie, did you see it or did you watch? I don't think you said you watched it.
Yeah, I finally caught up on everything. So I watched it.
That Pat, we said last week, that Pastor Ellis was getting on my nerves. I was like, bro, like, this is not your comedy Netflix special. Like, I don't know if you could crack a joke every time you get up there. He's making me mad, especially when he's talking about Rhonda Isley introducing him like, Aretha was better than you. You was just meant to be, like, this is stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
that was kind of weird. I heard.
And then it was like introducing Smokey Robinson, talking about his hair, talking about, well, I looked at your friend's dye, but when I looked at your full head of hair, I was like, you look younger than that. I was like, who says this at a funeral? Like, what? Like, this is not your 10-minute stand-up at a comedy club. Like, shut your ass up and go sit down somewhere. That's why the damn funeral was so long, because he's talking about 20 minutes. I'm like, get your ass off the mic and quit talking so much. It was when it went to the Ronald Isley. That's when he started getting on my nerves. I'm like, you need to get to him to sit down. You talking too much. I don't want to hear you with this little Richard mustache you got. Nobody want to hear you. Just wear it, sit down.
Oh, man.
That old 1960s mustache. Don't nobody even wear that no more. Like, even Steve Harvey grew a beard. Get rid of that mustache. Terrible. But, yeah. Yeah, I was just talking about, I just thought, we didn't mention it last week, but yeah. Oh, and then people kept talking about, like, kept judging all the singers like they was, like, judges on The Voice and American Idol or something. Like, just, it's a funeral. Like, people supposed to be happy they singing at a funeral. Most of them said they was nervous. Most of them was crying while they were trying to sing. That's hard to do. I told y'all last week, it's hard to try to sing when you want to cry, because you got the lump in your throat. I was like, it's hard to sing when you do that. And then also people was like, I saw people in there talking about, listen, the best one to me was Williams Brothers, and I already told y'all, Vanessa Bell Armstrong. And that was Aretha's favorite song, Precious Memories. And so she sung that song. If you heard Aretha sing that, she sings the same way that Vanessa Bell did. But Vanessa Bell, she's older, but she still does the same. She tries to do the same vocal runs and stuff like that, but she sung the song like y'all don't. That's how I know some of y'all listen to old school gospel.
Like, not even y'all that, like
some wear of skinny people, jeans in church and stuff, because y'all too young.
Some of them people act like they never been to a funeral. I'm convinced they haven't been to funerals or black funeral or black church at all. Like in life,
true.
Like some of the comments, because even though I didn't watch it in real time, I could see people's comments, and I was like, that sounds like a funeral. Like, but y'all think it's weird, and I'm like, have you ever been, has anyone that you've known ever passed away, or, hell, have you even watched a movie with a funeral? Like, come on, like,
true.
This is a funeral.
Yeah, they was judging it like it was like a, like, performances on an award show. I'm like, I'm gonna need y'all to calm down. They didn't know half of the people was there. I'm like, I'm gonna need y'all just watch it, and just, the ones that don't know who it is, be quiet. Like, y'all.
Right.
But, they're doing too much critiquing, and ain't none of y'all got credentials. Too much critiquing with no credentials. That's what I think.
With no, copyright that.
Right.
Exactly. For real.
Right. But yeah, that was my enjoyment. And then people was like, oh, you like Aretha? Listen here, don't make me sit here and school y'all on what I know about Aretha. Just because I don't pick her in the What's Wrong With You game, don't mean I don't know my stuff, okay? Some of y'all didn't even know I knew that, right? I know everything. Y'all was surprised that I knew that her band was playing. I knew everybody that was in her band. and most of her band was playing, the musicians was playing, and then she had, when they started singing Precious Memories, the singers at the mic, most of them were her, background singers, and one of them is actually her cousin, Brenda. So don't try to check me about Aretha facts, okay? I know everything about Aretha. Don't sit and try to check me, but it was just a couple people out there like, oh, you know about Aretha. I know everything about Aretha, okay? Why don't you get a book and learn something? Okay? Go to Dinah Washington, and then you can figure out what music is, and then you're gonna follow the trail of music. Don't try to question my love of Aretha, because I love Aretha. But yeah. If we're ready, we go to break so we can finish off with the topic. We're going to talk about favorite sitcoms, TV shows, reality shows, whatever it is. And we're going to list them off. Will, if you're ready, you put your Pinot Grigio down because you keep saying you got to go get some. So he keeps texting me through the show talking about he got to go get his drink. So if he put his drink down, we're going to go to break and we'll be back with the topic. Will, is you back yet? See, I told y'all, he ain't put that Pinot Grigio down. I don't know what we got to do,
y'all.
Girl, I
thought she was joking.
No, I'm not. I'm being dead serious. He said, no, I'm not being dead serious that he's drinking. I'm saying he said he had to go for a minute. But I thought he was back because it's hard. He still 7 minutes, so he ain't back. Oh, there you go. We'll be back, y'all.
But then the ocean takes the drop out.
And welcome back to the Soul Savvy Show. Yep.
Man, that joint jam.
Yeah.
That's my joint right there. That's my joint.
The whole album is nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
It's called Black Magic Potions. That thing be bumping.
Yep.
And Rashawn Patterson actually written and produced that, I think.
Right. Hey, Q-Lan, before the break,
that's
I heard...
my favorite off the
album. Q-Lan, before the break, I heard every word you said. I just didn't want to respond. I didn't want EB put out...
You were saying, it was like an awkward pause in there. I was like...
Yeah, no, no, no.
You keep saying...
Uh-huh.
You're like, every 2 minutes, man, I gotta go get my drink.
No,
Every message, the start of the show, you're like, I gotta go get my drink. I'll be back in 7 minutes. And then you say it again when we talk about raggedy news. You're like, I gotta go get my Pinot Grigio. I'll be back in 7 minutes. Everything was 7 minutes. I don't know what it is about 7 minutes.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I think that's how long it take him to knock back a Pinot Grigio. Or maybe he knocked back his brown liquor. Like, if you guys, EB's favorite drink, Bullet, whiskey or something. Maybe he got his leftover whiskey or something. It was like, let me finish this brown liquor off real quick. It only takes 7 minutes.
See, you better watch out. You better watch out. That's going to end up in one of EB's tweets. All right.
I know, right?
Yeah. You know, right. I just thought about something,
well, you
too.
Well, I was starting on the show. You remember me saying that I said that I was talking about Whitney and my family saying that I told him that she was better than all of them or something like that, he said.
Oh.
From there, and then it just kept on continuation.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
Uh-huh.
So, We got actual documentation, evidence of this, so he can't deny it.
And you know, the nigga, watch out, because he might put out a fake tweet telling us something. Q-Lynn stabbed Will on the show, even though you're in Oklahoma and I'm in California. People still gonna believe it.
Hey, we're gonna have a million listeners next week.
Right, exactly.
They gonna know what
happened. All kind of stuff. Right. I forgot to do savvy news. A little bit of savvy news. Shout out to Tiffany Haddish, Cat Williams, and John Legend. They all won Emmy this past week. John Legend is actually the first young, black, actor to get, all the EGOT. He got Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony. He got all four. So, shout out to him for that, for making Black History. It's Black History Month in September. That's what happened. And then also, Cat Williams won for his guest spot in Atlanta, the comedy TV series that comes on FX, written by Donald Glover, the AKA Childish Gambino. So shout outs to Cat Williams, and then also Tiffany Haddish. Her guest host role on Saturday Night Live last year, she won for best, I guess, guest host. Or Saturday Night Live, her appearance on Saturday Night Live. So shout outs to her. So that's some great savvy news right there. And we get to the topic of the night, talking about best sitcoms and best TV shows / reality shows. How y'all want to go with this? I got a lot. I'm just trying to think of something off the top of my head. I ain't going to actually make a list. But what do y'all want to start with? Reality shows? What do y'all want to start? I think we should start reality shows. Y'all want to start with that first?
Yeah, we can do reality shows.
Yeah, let's go that.
Let's go back, though. I know a lot of people, you know, when they think of reality shows now, it's like Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know, Married to Medicine, Love and Hip Hop, the 79 series of those in Atlanta, and all that, wherever they got them at, L.A., New York. But I want to go back to the golden era of reality shows. I want to go back to, like, Flavor of Love. That was...
Oh, man. That one got me through.
The low-level trash of reality TV started with
that. That was my show. I didn't miss an episode of that.
Right, exactly. Nope. I was just amazed that they gave this man, like, I think 3 seasons of the show. And I was just amazed, like, they all deserve Oscar Myers for pretending, like, acting like they really liked this dude. Because I was like, how is it possible that y'all kiss this beetle, like, every episode? Like,
with passion.
I was like, and I couldn't stop watching it, because I was like, and then the only true, I felt like, really did love this guy was New York, and he didn't even pick her. He brought her back twice and didn't even pick her.
Twice.
I was like, yo, he's the only one that liked you.
And you look like something I stepped on outside earlier. Yes. Like, I don't even know how is it humanly possible. I was like, he was mad trash. I was like, this is gross.
But then she got a show, and I also watched one.
Oh, yeah, I did watch that one.
Yeah.
New York of Love or something, what was it?
Something like that.
I love New York, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody
else got a spinoff. It was like some brothers. They got a spinoff from that.
Chance and Real.
Oh, yeah. I met them before, actually, in L.A. before. They're wild.
Like one of them died.
Yeah. I think it was the long hair one.
Oh,
yeah, he died a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago. But yeah, Flavor of Love. What else was happening back then? It was what was it? It was the Weight Loss. I used to watch that one with the celebrities when they would go on there.
Oh, celebrities.
And then Dustin Diamond, aka Screech from Saved by the Bell, was about to get his ass whooped by the trainer. That shit was funny. The military dude that was training him, he was about to whoop his ass. That was funny. But what else was it? Oh, yeah, I can't forget about this one. This is my top favorite reality show. I don't give a care. I don't care what none of the critics said. This was the best reality show of all time when it came out 10, 11 years ago. Being Bobby Brown. That was the best television that I ever saw in my life. I was hooked. I was so mad they didn't get a second season because they deserved it. I was like, this was the greatest show on earth. I couldn't believe, like all the stuff they were saying on TV. I'm like, whoa, what? Talking about getting feces out of bottles of Whitney's Bluvius Maximus. I did not need to know that about Bobby Brown and Whitney, about him helping with her constipation. I didn't even know about that.
Of the cocaine use, she was constipated.
Oh, wow. Oh, you just gonna throw that out there. Whoop! That was him. Okay, that wasn't me. I didn't say none of that.
Well, look it up. Look it up. That was the reason why she was constipated.
I don't do cocaine, so, I don't know
nobody. Uh-huh, okay.
Wait a minute.
Didn't we hear something early in the show about her and her family, and she's making jokes about cocaine? Sound like she knew a whole lot about it then. Yeah.
Hilarious. I don't know about that, Will.
I just want to clarify for our listeners. Will just said Whitney Houston had an ass full of cocaine. full of powder.
Hilarious. He did.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
Y'all go spread that rumor.
Oh, my God.
Come on, move it.
The master tweeter, look out. Oh, my God. We're going down. Hey, Q-Lin, we're going down.
Yo, that was a great show, though. Being Bobby Brown, that was a great show. I used to love watching it. And they would just break out in random songs. People was like, they is hot all the time. I was like, they are, but it's funny. I was like, I don't care.
That was good. It was a good show.
That was good black television. I was like, people was mad because they saw Whitney like that. I'm like, that is 100%. And then also, speaking of cocaine, I didn't know that her and Sherelle was cocaine buddies. I was like, what? R.B. singing Sherelle. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, y'all do a little fucked up. I ain't nothing about that. I was like, that should have been the biopic.
The messed up thing was when Whitney died, like, every celebrity that she ever did cocaine with started doing interviews telling on her. And I was like, man, you can't even keep the secret and die. They don't hold up to the bargain. Don't tell nobody we was doing coke together.
Listen, she wasn't going to tell it, so somebody got to.
No, they didn't.
You ain't gonna tell nothing. I was like, wait, that's what. I was like, you was acting a fool on being Bobby Brown. I was like, you act like we learned something new. She was very erratic, too. She was a very erratic drug user because she was, like, always hitting on him and stuff. I was like, I can see why y'all got a divorce. She was violent.
Make you angry.
She was violent as hell on that show. And she was always hitting on him and stuff. I was like, oh, see that? I was like, and then she told on herself talking about she had side dudes and stuff, and he was always threatening to beat him up and stuff on the phone. That's how I believe that Bobby Brown, people thought he was lying. I was like, I don't think he lied, because if he said it on being Bobby Brown show, he's like, you got a dude over there? He's like, if he over there, I'm going to bust his ass. I was like, he used to say that all the time, like, every episode. That's what it was. I'm like, damn, Whitney got a dude every weekend is out. I was like, Whitney, he's like, I got to fight every night to prove my love.
I tell niggas some old reality shows that before this that I used to watch. I used to watch a lot of them. I'm trying to think.
You know what? I used to watch The Real World on MTV.
Oh yeah, I sure did. I used to watch it like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I remember the one with Tammy Roman was on there. I was like, that's where I know her from.
Yeah.
I remember the dude yeah, that black dude that was on House Party 3. I was like, that's that show that she was on. I remember that. Because then she got married to Ken Thomas, like, right after that. I remember that. And I remember when they had the, like, little reunion thing, she was saying how she got married and stuff like that. I remember that. Listen, this for all the old people. People over that's under 25. You don't know nothing about what we're talking about. But Tammy Roman used to, that was on Basketball Live, used to be on Real. That's how she got started, was on Real World. She used to be on there. But yeah, that was a big deal when she got that dude kicked off. But yeah, that was the first
it was a real big deal.
That was like the first Me Too movement story.
Yeah.
It was, for real. But yeah, I'm trying to think of something else before we move on to TV shows, because I only got a little bit for TV shows.
Did y'all watch The Challenge, which was like came about after The Real World? Like when they would bring people back and they would compete?
Oh, I think I saw like one season of that. Like an episode.
Yeah, them Caucasian people used to get on my nerves. I was like, I
can't
watch
this no more. That was the one I really got into, more so than The Real World, because I like to watch them compete. But then the stories started to get a little, they lost me after like a few seasons, but I used to watch that one quite a bit in college.
What you used to watch, or what you watch now, Haley? You watch reality shows or you too busy grading papers?
well, one, I ain't got cable. So I don't really watch it now. But
you watch it on Hulu? They show reality shows on Hulu.
I don't really watch Hulu either. I don't watch that much TV, but my favorite ones are Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's my favorite. And then I like the Real Housewives of Potomac. But back in the day, I used to watch, what was that one on BET about colleges? They did about
Forgot about that.
Okay, so that was lit.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch that.
BET had a...
I remember that girl got busted in the head with stilettos.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was crazy.
But Baldwin Hills was really good, too.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. Actually, no one... I'm friends with one of them people. Shout out to Justin Walker. That's my friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are my top ones. I don't really watch it now because they be doing too much for me. But, yep, those are my favorites.
And we're going to move on to sitcoms and TV shows. I keep trying to think of all my favorite ones I used to watch. I'm going to go way back with y'all. I used to watch Martin for sure. Like all the ones that Thursday night, Fox, the best TV shows yet, but it came on first. I think Martin came on first and then Living Single. And then New York Undercover used to come on. That was Thursday night prime time right there. Fox every night used to come on. And I used to watch all three of those. Let me see. It's a lot. All that I used to watch. My Brother and Me. The Wonder Years. I used to love that show. I'm trying to think of some more TV shows. What's some more of y'all's? I'm trying to think of some more.
I watch
a lot of. Oh, yeah. Different Strokes.
Living
different
Colors.
Three Company.
I love that one.
All in the Family. Because they were syndicated, those 70s shows, so I used to watch those. The Jeffersons, All in the Family. I used to watch them all the time. Three's Company was my show. I used to love that show when it come on. Oh my God. Jack Ripper, riff on him.
Did you like Living Color?
Yes, that was
my show. That was one I said. Oh my God, it was lit. My favorite episode was when, Jamie was playing Wanda, and they was at a cabin, and I think it was Tommy Davidson and David Alan Greer, and they didn't know that Wanda was in there, and then whenever she turned around, when she came back, turned around, and David Alan Greer, he said, oh my God, it's a Yeti! That kid was funny as hell. A Yeti is like a monster, or whatever, like a snow mountain monster. It's like, oh my God, it's a Yeti! I was dying laughing. That shit was hilarious. Oh my God! And then when they played, when Wanda played, when she was singing with Invoke,
that's awesome. Classic right there.
Woo 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 woo! Oh, I die laughing every time I see it. I think it still come on.
I think I watch Aspire TV. They show it a lot. And Fuse TV shows it. It's a lot. What is it? Steve Harvey. Wait, no. What's the show used to call? The first one. I always forget the name of it. It was when he had a lot of kids. It was his first sitcom. Steve Harvey. Watch.
Steve Harvey show. Right?
What the hell? Me and the Boys. That's the name. I can't never think of that. I used to watch Me and the Boys. Oh, that was a good show. And Fresh Prince of Bel Air. That's like a classic. I used to watch it.
Yeah.
I think all the seasons are good. It's still funny to me. I watch all the seasons. Family Matters. I watched it up until when they went to college. I think I might have seen. I didn't see it when they got the new Harriet. I don't think I watched all those episodes.
Yes, I watched it. Unfortunately, I watched it to the very.
Oh, I must not have seen that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah,
I must have stopped.
I watched it.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that they changed out to Harriet. She was tired of Urkel. She's like,
yeah.
She's like, I know everybody Urkel feel about. She's like, I'm tired of them.
Dang,
that was real. And then I'm trying to think of some more sitcoms that I used to watch. There was a lot of TV shows that was out in the 90s. I used to watch.
Oh, I used to watch Rock. You used to watch Rock.
Yeah, that was a good one. I can't remember when he. I think the episode that stands out was when he drug dealer in the house. I was like, oh, he's about to kill him. He's like, did you hear what I said? You come back through here again, I'm gonna kill you. I was like, oh my god, you better get Rock. He's about to kill him. That was good TV right there. And then Comedy. That's a TV show.
Yeah.
And my daddy would let me stay up till 10 o'clock. After it went off, he would say I could go to bed, but he would always let me stay up and watch Comic View. And I'm talking about way back when they had, like, some more was the host. I'm talking about when Cedric the Entertainer was hosting. D.L. Hughley used to host. They had a whole different kind of comedians that hosted. But I used to watch, like, way back when. They had a lot of funny comedians on there. I used to watch all the time. And
that's the reason I know a lot of comedians now is because of that show. Because a lot of those people, they may not be necessarily in the spotlight, but you still see them around, like touring and stuff like that.
Yep, exactly. And what's another one? Sparks. I used to watch that. Y'all must don't know about that. See, y'all do all the typical ones like Fresh Prince. Sparks was that show. James Avery, Miguel Nunez. I think that's how you say his name. And Terrence Howard.
Robin Givens, right?
Yep, they said they was all on there. I remember I was trying to record an episode of that, and I think that's when I was telling y'all in Childhood Memory Show, y'all can look that up for the listeners that heard the story, but I told a story on there that I got a whooping because I broke the TV, and that was one of the shows that I got because I was trying to get the tape in the VCR, and it got stuck while I was recording, and I got mad and hit the TV and punched it and broke the whole TV, and I got whooping for it because I broke the whole TV. Yeah, I was mad because I couldn't get the tape in there.
Now we can see what. Now we see what's happening, right? Yeah.
Listen, this is old news. You acted like I didn't tell. I told the story way back when. Like
no,
later.
You've always been a Brett. You've always been a Brett, Q, man.
Oh, you said what?
You've always been a Brett.
I ain't always been a Brett. I've always been a good child. I was my other siblings. All right, I told y'all before. My other siblings. Now they weren't scared of whoopings. I was like. As soon as I saw them get whoopings, I'm like, all right, I ain't going to do that because I don't want no whoopings. I ain't counting one hand how many whoopings I got, and I deserve every one of them. Now, my other siblings, they've got whooped multiple times for dumb stuff. I almost told some personal business. I ain't going to snitch on y'all like that. Because I don't even think some of my relatives know about this story. I ain't going to snitch on y'all. I almost told a personal story. Getting too familiar. We going to move on. what's some other sitcoms? 80s and 90s sitcoms. I'm trying to think of some more. Trying to think, get them to pop in my head.
Did y'all watch The Parenthood?
Oh, that was
Robert Townsend. Okay. I feel like everybody forgot about that one. I never hear anybody talk about it, but it was a great show.
Yes.
Yes, that one. I don't remember his name either, but that show was a really good show.
You know that, I'm glad you know that Kevin Campbell, you know E.B. old as hell because he knew that Kevin Campbell wrote his name.
They gotta call me
out. Oh man, we got some more before we wrap up.
I really like That's So Raven. It's kind of more modern. in comparison to the other ones. But that
oh, yeah. You, listen, do you watch the new one, The Raven's Home? The,
no, I don't want to see that. No.
What? Listen, people, us that's 30 plus and older, we, it's a lot of people that watch that show that's grown. I'm like,
no, I just got the original. I'm good.
No, the new one is hilarious. It's funny. Them kids are hilarious. I like all them. It's funny. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got nothing to do with the first one either. It's like a whole new set. Like, it's like Raven and, what's her name? And, the Caucasian woman. I can't remember that. I don't remember Caucasian people's name. But, her and, her kids, they raising their kids together. They live together. It's hilarious. It's funny. Raven's a good, Miss I'm From Every Part of the Universe is a very good, comedy actor. So, I enjoy it. But yeah, that, we almost at the end of the show. Well, I want to call you out so bad, man. You lucky I'm in good, I want to call you out so bad.
You
Will, I want to call you out.
Call who out?
See, you over here tripping again. I thought we had a conversation. I thought we rectified stuff. And you keep on, I, listen, y'all not aware of this, but he keep on trying me. Alright? Via message. Alright? I'm just saying, I know what you're doing. I'm just letting the people know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cause you know, oh, now you're trying to act like you don't know now.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know we have another show, we have another show, at the top of the hour.
Look here, we got 4 minutes left. I'm gonna need for you to chill out. We ain't even overtime yet, so I'm gonna need for you to relax. Okay? My time is correct. I ain't on a daylight saving time. I'm correct. We almost done with the show, y'all. I was trying to think of some more. Did y'all watch Growing Pains before we go? Y'all like that show?
Yeah, I watched it.
That was my show. Cosby Show?
Yeah.
Y'all watched The Golden Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching that last night. Yes. Yes, EB. Designer Women.
Know it.
That's a good
one. Oh, that was a great show.
Oh, yeah. Designer Women was my show. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I watched it every day.
Yeah, that was a great show.
I watched Cheers. I was like an old Caucasian woman. Watched Cheers.
Cheers is a good show. That's a good one.
Oh, Murphy Brown, and Murphy Brown is coming back too. That was my show right there. I used to love that show. She's hilarious. Murphy Brown's coming back. I know I got excited real quick, but it's coming back from CBS in the fall. They revamped it. Murphy Brown, that was my show. That show was freaking hilarious. I hate to mention this show, but I loved it so much. I just stopped watching it last year, like, because I couldn't do it no more. But Roseanne is an honorable mention. I used to love that show.
Mm,
that
yeah.
Great sarcastic comedy. But I had to, I told y'all, I promise you, if I had a Bible in front of me, I'll swear on it. I promise you, I threw away all my Roseanne DVDs. I threw them all away. I don't have any more. They're all gone. After that, I was like, I'm done. That's how I am. I can't do it no more. But it's an honorable mention. But yeah, we had the end of the show. Oh, Mama's Family, I used to watch that. I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I used to, my grandparents, they used to watch like all these old ass shows. Like, I mean, I know some of y'all still watching like Westerns and stuff like that. Prayer and the Vet. What's this? Little House on the Prairie and
Little House on the Prairie.
I hated it.
Oh my God, that was like pure torture. My grandpa used to.
I know she does.
Oh, they still watch that too. Like all them old westerns. But yeah, I can't think of no more. We good. Oh, A Different World. That's an honorable one, too.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my
favorites.
But yeah, we are at the end of the Soul Savage Radio Show. Haley, tell people what you're doing. We need more about your life and getting your business. Tell people what's going on. So they can see us on the internet and get your business. Tell them where they can find you at on social media.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is she talking about? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
On Instagram at @AsToldByHer_ and you can find me on YouTube at @AsToldByHer as well.
Yeah, hit her up in her inbox and tell her to make sure she evaluates these little tests that she's giving her students or whatever analysis they're doing on these songs. Make sure to tell them to give them good grades and don't flunk nobody. Good grades. Even when they get on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Soul Savage Radio, y'all. We'll be back every Thursday, 4-6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll be back next week.
with special guest gospel singer called Evangelist R.A. Court. So we'll be back next week. We out, y'all. No Savvy Heathen Talk. Savvy Heathen Talk is William Fair Turner and Jesus and I'm talking. We out, y'all. We out, y'all. I'm not one to waste time, so baby, let